This is Moolah La, Money Made Simple, brought to you in part by EQ Bank, banking simplified. Visit our site for a link, podcasts.moolala.ca. Sometimes people can't pay back their debt. Not like, I can only pay my minimum this month. More like, I literally can't pay my debts off, like, ever. In this case, a bankruptcy filing is something you might need to consider. But it isn't the only option. Doug Hoyes is a licensed insolvency trustee at Hoyes, Michaelos & Associates. He joins us now. Hello there.
Great to be with you, Bruce.
There are different degrees of debt. What would you tell, what would tell you that a client needs to seriously think about more than just eating ramen noodles for a month?
Well, if you take a look at how long it's going to take you to pay it back, and it's, you know, it says right on your credit card statement, if you make the minimum payment, it's going to be 242 years, then right. I would say you've got too much debt. So rule of thumb, if it's going to take you, I don't know, more than 5 years of, you know, trying to service it, then, well, maybe you've got more of a debt problem than you can deal with on your own.
Now, people throw around the term bankruptcy all the time and don't have a real clear sense of what it actually is. We will talk about that. But before we do, I think we should talk about the one that is a viable option that people don't know as much about, and that's the consumer proposal. So what is it and how is it different from filing for bankruptcy?
It's a deal. So that's the real short.
It's a deal. Let's make a deal.
One word
Monty
answer.
Hall.
It's a deal. So in a bankruptcy, you lose your stuff. There are certain obligations. We can talk about all that. In a consumer proposal, we go to all the people you owe money to and we say, look, I can't pay it in full, but I can pay a portion. Let's make a deal. So perhaps the deal will be I'll pay $300 a month for the next 5 years or something like that. Right. That's not the full amount owing, but they agree to take that and wipe out the rest.
Now, it's negotiated. How much latitude is there to negotiate? And I say, how about 5 cents on the dollar?
You can.
Does it work for you?
They'll probably say no. So Right. We figure out how much they would get in a bankruptcy. Well, we got to offer them more than that or else there's no incentive to take it.
Right.
And so having done this a few tens of thousands of times, we got a pretty good idea of what they're looking for. Because let's face it, we're dealing with the big banks, the big credit card companies. It's the same guys all the time, right? Or CRA. So we figure out what's reasonable, what you can afford, what they're likely to accept. That's the deal that we offer them. There is then a voting period where they get to vote. And if they say yes, fantastic. If not, then that does trigger a negotiating period after that.
What are the pros and cons versus a bankruptcy filing to
well,
a consumer proposal?
The big pro is you know exactly what you've got to pay. In a bankruptcy, the amount you pay is based on your income. It goes up and down every month. So with a consumer proposal, it's locked in. I work some overtime. I get a bonus. No problem. I still know what I have to pay. So it's locked in. And usually the monthly payment is less because we're dragging it out over an extended period of time.
Right.
So a bankruptcy can last for 9 months, 21 months, depends on your situation. With a consumer proposal, it can be up to 5 years. So maybe instead of a bankruptcy being $400 or $500 a month for a shorter period of time, a consumer proposal could be $200 a month over 5 years, that sort of thing.
And how does it connect to credit score? I wasn't going to say how does it impact your credit score, because if you're filing for a consumer proposal, you may not have a great credit score.
That's the key point. You're already in big trouble.
Yeah.
So this is going to make it better. So there's a note that stays on your credit report for 3 years after the proposal is completed, or a maximum of 6 years. It gets knocked off after 6 years, that says you filed a consumer proposal. So notionally, that's an R7. A bankruptcy is an R9. Perfect credit is an R1. So it's not as bad as a bankruptcy. But you've dealt with all your debt. Sooner you get it paid off, sooner it comes off your credit report and you can start the rebuilding process.
So then as point of comparison, what's it mean to file for bankruptcy?
In a bankruptcy, you are surrendering the assets that you have, and most people who come to see me don't have any, or else they would have sold their assets to deal with it. The big kicker is that the payment is based on your income. So every month you're sending me your pay stubs, the government sets a limit. If you're over that limit, you've got to pay extra. So if you're in a situation where you think your situation is going to get better, I'm going to start getting some overtime, maybe I'm getting a new job, maybe I'm going to pick up a second job, then bankruptcy can become very expensive. So with a consumer proposal, we lock it in based on your situation today. It doesn't change.
What happens for those people who are in a relationship? Does the spouse get taken down with them in either of these two, or does it differ?
No, they're both the same. The debts that you have are what are included in the process. So the fact that my spouse has debts has no impact on my filing, unless, of course, we've co-sign them if they're joint debts, then if I file a proposal, the bank might be happy with me, but they can still go after my spouse. So if you have a spouse and there are joint debts, you want to talk to your licensed insolvency trustee about that to make sure we've considered what the impact would be.
There's also something called debt settlement. You have a huge degree of skepticism about that as a path, and I'm sure it's informed by the fact that you're a licensed insolvency trustee. People who do that aren't that.
Yes, but there's also government rules that make it very prohibitive. It used to be that there were these debt settlement companies that say, no problem, Bruce, we can deal with your debts. Give us a couple of grand, we'll deal with it. The government realized that people were charging big upfront fees for doing nothing, so they put a kibosh on that, which is good. With a debt settlement, you are negotiating a separate deal with every individual creditor. With a consumer proposal, we're doing it all for one. In a consumer proposal, one vote per dollar owed. If more than half say yes, it's binding on everyone. Mm. Whereas with a debt settlement, you got to get everyone to agree. So what if you can get 9 out of 10 to agree, but the 10th guy decides to take you to court and garnish your wages? You're right. Pooched. So debt settlement only works with a very limited number of creditors, and if you've got a lump sum you can throw on the table. If you've got some debt from 2 years ago, yeah, they'll probably accept 20 cents on the dollar right off the bat. But since most people aren't in that situation, the consumer proposal is almost always a better option.
There is a very strong network in this country for nonprofit credit counselors. Should an individual start there? What role do they play?
Well, they do debt management plans, okay, which is like a consumer proposal, only you are paying the debts back in full. There's no discount. They can get a break on the interest, but you're still paying the full amount owing. And it is not legally binding on every single creditor. So again, if 9 out of 10 agree, you can still have one that doesn't agree. Debt management plans through a not-for-profit credit counselor aren't going to bind Revenue Canada, CRA, for example. So if you've got tax debts, that's not going to work. If you've already got a judgment against you, a wage garnishment, more difficult to get that stopped, whereas it's automatic in a consumer proposal. So you're right. You said it earlier. I'm biased. I believe, you know, come talk to us. If another professional is a better one for you to see, then we're gonna refer you there.
Because I guess one of the advantages, and typically you can work in concert, but one of the benefits is they provide some counseling to reduce the risk that you're going to get into the situation again.
Yeah, and that's a critical point. And so if you're dealing with a not-for-profit counselor, ask them, how much in-person counseling can I get? Because a lot of them now are call centers. You're dealing with someone on the phone, you never talk to one.
Right.
If you file a consumer proposal, there are two in-person bankruptcy and insolvency counseling sessions you're going to have with either myself or one of our licensed counselors. So there is counseling as part of the consumer proposal process as well.
You cannot ride public transit these days without seeing ads related to debt. A whole bunch of different ads, and I'm sure some are licensed insolvency trustees like you, some aren't. How do you determine what is real and what isn't real? What are the warning signs that you see when you see those ads out there?
Well, number one, upfront fees, because a licensed insolvency trustee is not allowed to charge an upfront fee. We don't start getting paid until the process is actually filed. Are they registered by the government? Are they actually licensed? So it's pretty simple. You can phone the guys in the ads and say, hey, are you licensed by the federal government or not? That's a very good first step.
You and your people take calls every single day from people who are in really, really tough circumstances. What is the single most common thing you say to people in that first call that we're now going to tell all of our listeners so when they call you, they'll be able to get to question two and you can save yourself 4 minutes?
You're not alone. You know, it's very embarrassing. I'm the only one in this situation. I, you know, didn't want to make this call.
Right.
Well, in Canada this year, in 2020, there will probably be something like 135,000, 140,000 consumer proposals and bankruptcies filed.
Say that number again.
Somewhere between 130,000, 140,000.
Wow.
In Canada. So, and that's not the peak. In 2009, it was over 150,000. So you are not alone. And those are the people who are in such dire shape that they have to do something. That's not people who have debt. That's pretty much everybody, right? So doing nothing isn't going to make debt go away. That's not the way compounding interest works,
yeah,
right? It can work both ways. So in most cases, you're better off talking to someone, figuring out what the solution is right away.
Thank you very much, Doug. Appreciate it.
Great to be here, Bruce.
Doug Hoyes, licensed insolvency trustee at Hoyes, Michaelos & Associates. Our conversation was all about dealing with debt. There are options out there.